Roberts, good morning to you.
Morning, Your Honor. May I please report? My name is C.J. Roberts. I'm one of the attorneys for the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm here today representing the appellant who is the department in this case. Essentially, the department's position is fairly straightforward. The department is contending with the trial court, in this case the juvenile court, a separate juvenile court in Lancaster County, by finding that Paxton H., a youth who is in the care and custody of the Department of Health and Human Services, Children and Family Services. The court erred by ordering the department to immediately arrange and pay for transportation, as well as the sanctuary program, which the department would seize as a respite program. So in essence, the department's position is that the court ordered the Department of Health and Human Services to arrange and pay for transportation of one of our wards to a psychiatric residential treatment facility for the purposes of respite.
I have a question. The nature of the order.
Yes.
It seems to be phrased, the nature of order that was going to be revisited subsequently, and I don't see anything in the record of what happened, can you tell us, is Paxton still in the sanctuary program, or is his DLC in the apartment still there?
Paxton is still in the sanctuary program at the kids' DLC. There was a hearing that was held. There was some evidence presented as to that. As to that matter, but I think at the time the court's position, I think rightly so, jurisdiction now, it's with the Court of Appeals of the Supreme Court, which occurred in this case. So the court really made no ruling on the matter at that point in time.
The order that you're appealing, and there's language that says an early review relief held to monitor the service. Whether the sanctuary program continues to be necessary, hearing will be a matter to discuss with counsel in regards to that matter. Did that order leave you room to come back and say things have changed? This order you entered is October.
Yes, Your Honor. I think the catch-22 is what the department runs into is the court enters this order, and we have now. It could be an interim order, it could be an ongoing order. If it's an ongoing order, and the department doesn't appeal at that time, then the department feels like at that point we don't any longer have an appealable issue because we present all the evidence we want. And as long as the court doesn't appear from the original order, it's an ongoing order and an unappealable issue. So what often happens in juvenile court, because as was noted on the record, a lot of these hearings, everything is up for debate, essentially, all the issues from the drop points and a lot of different hearings. I think the department's hope was that I wouldn't have to stand here this morning. I think our hope was that we could get something else in place and hopefully dismiss the appeal if that was possible. I don't think we've been able to come to any consensus on facts that still. At Kids PLC in Kansas,
what did we come to unite this court?
Well, Your Honor, I guess the two main departments issues are one that we believe what really is being provided here. I'm trying to answer, but. Is that we're being asked to take one of our wards, place them at what is essentially a psychiatric residential treatment facility, as I noted in my brief, an inpatient psychiatric treatment facility for youth under 19, under the care of a physician. That's a very high level of care. So we're being ordered to take one of our youth. The way it's set up now is every other weekend, transported several hours, spend 2 days in Kansas, transported back. We don't feel that's in the best interest, but believe the court erred on the best interest. Ideally, we would like this court to find that the trial court was error by ordering the department to not be able to use local respite services that we could set up so we could get structural and relational components built up.
Why? Some alternative, or would we know some alternative?
Your Honor, I think. If you look at Appellee's motion filed requesting that the department be ordered to provide the sanctuary program, one of the things that was attached to Appellee's order was a communication from the department, from the supervisor, Molly Perlikowski, that outlined basically what the department was offering. It outlined respite services, it outlined, I think, medication management, and transportation arrangements. There was debate about what was in place and what was not in place, but I think part of that issue was the parties couldn't agree on what services they wanted. They were not interested in local respite, so there was not a local respite provider set up at that specific hearing.
Therefore, the court, without an agreement amongst the parties,
I don't believe the court indicated there was nothing in Nebraska that needs to be. I think the court I think the court said you didn't present me an alternative, and I think the court said, but the court did come back and say, I agree with you that it is in the child's best interest to have local respite care. Well, I guess the focus
is
the focus of the appeal is we believe that we are coming to Kansas in order to try to get somebody settled in Nebraska. If this is an adult situation, this would be akin to sending them off to the Norfolk Regional Center every other weekend to try to get them used to staying in Nebraska. The Department of Health and Human Services, not Nebraska, in Lincoln, Nebraska. The Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services is trying to develop the structural relational services in Lincoln, Nebraska, to provide services to its youth. There was a recommendation that services be put in place. There was no recommendation on how we're supposed to transition this back to Nebraska.
Did that sort of go to the nature of the order that this can be revisited to see if the sanctuary program remains necessary, if the counselor can request hearing on that matter?
I think it does, but the department was never been able to get a consensus with the parties to agree with this is what we need to happen.
But at the day of the hearing, isn't there testimony in the record that there are some Medicaid not being activated and the child being unable to receive services as a child is back at the services for the 11 days since the child has been discharged?
I think the hearing was kind of a misrepresentation of what occurred, because I think there was a therapist. I think the department had offered debt service. The Medicaid issue indicates the department, at least Children and Family Services, got an email the day before, found out literally the morning of the hearing that for whatever reason the Medicaid has been shut down. This family is receiving Medicaid through an adoption trust as well as $1,300 a month.
I'm a little confused in your complaint that this is a court placement or something that we have to pay for this placement. Why?
I think it comes, I think it's both. I think what we're paying for psychiatric residential treatment facility, which puts our ward in a very high level of care, simply for the purposes that he's used to that level of care, he's used to the structural surroundings, he's used to the employees that are working there, and the taxpayers in Nebraska are having to pay a huge sum to transport and then have him stay in an inpatient facility.
To return to the chief's question, if we were to reverse, what would be the plan that would be in place for this job?
Respite that exists in Nebraska would be realized. And I think
would that spring to life automatically?
We have respite services that could be implemented.
Is there an existing for respite services?
I believe there was an existing recommendation for respite services in the form of community support.
So there's never been an order for respite services with access in that place. So if we reverse, doesn't that just mean this child's left on the rush?
If nothing,
at least for some period of time.
I believe the department has the authority and the obligation to present a respite program immediately for the family. And we do have those in place. We use those for lots of families in lots of family situations. And if I could address the one other remedy, I didn't realize the amount of time that I was originally asked about. We're out of time. Just real briefly, I've noted that appellees cited 4329 as the court's authority to order the department to pay for services for wards that are in the department's care. I do agree with that too, but one thing I did know was that 4329 also indicates there should be a determination for the ability to pay made on behalf of the parent. And as the testimony indicated, there's been a $1,300 a month stipend going out during this argument. This argument was not. It was meant to address appellee's argument. I have nothing to say.
Thank you very much. Ms. Gonzalez. Good morning to you.
The court. My name is Ms. Gonzalez. I'm here on behalf of Patrick Vincent and Holly. They are the parents of Dax and Holly. We are here today asking the court to find that the juvenile court did not err in this decision when it ordered the Department of Health and Human Services to arrange and pay for taxing to be transported to the sanctuary program as a respite program when he transitioned back to their house. The juvenile court is tasked with making orders for children in their jurisdiction that are in the best interest for those children, and I think that that's what this order did for Paxton. It's hard to get an exact feeling of Paxton's history just based on the very little information you have from a review hearing, but Paxton has a severe history of mental health diagnoses that include reactive attachment disorder, disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, he has a traumatic brain injury, and all of these things lead into his mental health diagnoses and very verbal and physical aggressive behaviors that he has displayed throughout the history of his case.
Suppose we were to reverse this first case, request first place, what would be the impact on
I think that he would end up back at death penalty as a full-time placement. I don't think that we've identified any other type of plan for him, and I think that's why at this time the sanctuary program is our only option. When we had the review hearing in July, prior to the hearing for the motion to arrange a paper services, the court made it very clear that when he was to discharge in August, services needed to be set up for him prior to his discharge, because when he discharged previously from PSTLC, he had been there from January of 2015, I believe, until January 2016. He discharged, services weren't set up, there was a lapse of services, and he was right back there, I believe in May of 2016. He only lasted 5 months at his parents' house before he disrupted, went to a few foster homes. He never lasted very long in foster homes before they get their notice, and then he was back at his PSTLC by July of 2016.
So where this kid, come up with some local investment program?
Not that I'm aware of. The motion that I filed, there was a, when he discharged, there was a recommendation that he utilize the sanctuary program. The department declined to arrange for that. I then filed a motion, and we got into court almost immediately on that motion. The department's own worker testified that he had been discharged for 11 days. There hadn't been therapy set up. He couldn't do medication management because his Medicaid had lapsed. He couldn't get his blood work drawn, which was required so that they could determine if the medication that he was on was working correctly. Essentially, no services had been set up for him.
If the department could arrange the local resident service in the panel, that's something that we're applying to be interested in.
I think that's something that we definitely need to look at. I think the issue with Action is he has just reactive attachment disorder, so he has a real issue with connecting with people, and that's been a problem throughout his lifetime and throughout the life of this case. So I think what needs to happen now is I think we need to still utilize the sanctuary program, but he's only there 2 weekends a month, and I think we need to utilize maybe one other weekend a month to identify a respite provider in Lincoln that he can start spending time with, that he can then transition in to utilize that person, because putting him in a home he's not familiar with doesn't work. So he takes advantage of that home, he becomes very physically aggressive with that home. You also have to be very careful with him to not place him with kids that are younger than him. He can be very aggressive with animals. So there's a lot of factors that go into finding something that works for him. So he does have their
understanding that prayer for the leadership he doesn't
The way I take the department's appeal is that they don't want to pay for the sanctuary program. They would rather utilize local respite, which obviously is probably the cheaper option. However, in the end, I think it could be a more expensive option, because I think Paxton would end up at the sanctuary, or not at the sanctuary program, but placed back at the PSTLC, which is essentially what happened the first time. He didn't have the services set up correctly the first time, and he ended up back in the program for 14 months. So rather,
is this a feasible or a logical outcome? I feel that we could agree with the department and but changing placement or adjustment to the ability of alternatives?
I don't think there's an alternative right now. I think it would have been better suited to utilize the sanctuary program as ordered and review it. In my mind, the order of utilizing the sanctuary program is always a reviewable matter. The juvenile court doesn't always have to do all the kind of reviews, can always ask for things to be reviewed early. The motion for an early review, you can come in 60 days, 90 days. You can always file motions for early review, so that could have been something that could have been reviewed more frequently than the standard 6 months.
We're asking the statutory schemes, who has the final determination as to the best future this is the justice, the judge. Judge or is it the department of health services?
I would say it's the judge. The children are placed in legal custody of the department, but the judge makes the orders as to what services have to be done for the children, including placement, and I think that's an everyday practice, and that's shown by even when the department wants to change the placement for one of their wards, a change of placement has to be submitted to the legal parties, and there often has to be an order for change of placement signed by the judge before that can occur. And for legal parties object, there has to be a hearing on it, and the judge has to approve it. So ultimately, the judge has the final say and is tasked with making those decisions on what is in the best interest. And it's my client's position that this is in the best interest. He does continue to utilize it at this time. They're not opposed to finding something locally. It's just a matter of it's not just going to be your standard respite, put him in a foster context, and is a very unique individual, and it's going to have to be a very unique plan for him to be successful. And they're definitely not opposed to that. I think it's just something that's going to take a lot of collaboration and work between the parties. He is 14. And that's all I have. I just been asked the court to affirm the claim of the juvenile court and find that it wasn't excessive, and the court did not err when it made that rule. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time?
No.
There's no time.